Galatians chapter 3, here in the latter part of this chapter, the apostle, and of course this book is written to this church, these churches in Galatia, and the apostle is dealing with them going back and being seduced by another gospel, a gospel that speaks about sinners being able to work towards salvation, which is not so. Salvation is by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does for us, not what we can do for him. And he speaks here about the law, and he brings into speaking about this thing of faith. And, of course, the context of the chapter is that this is being delivered to churches in that region of Galatia. And churches, remember, are not buildings, but churches are built by the Lord with people. Amen. People that he has saved and fitly joined together to be a church in a place or a region. Okay, just so happens this is where we meet. This time next year, we might be meeting somewhere else here in the area or somewhere off a different place geographically, but we'll still be the same church. Okay, the Lord does plant churches in regions, but it's not the region that makes them the church. It's what the Lord's done with the people. And these people, these saints, these children, they're saved. Okay, they're saved. The Lord doesn't use unsaved people to build his churches. Okay, he uses saved people to do that. And he's talking about the law here in the latter part of this chapter, about it being a schoolmaster. Teaches us some things. Teaches us that we need Christ. That there's not anything that we can do to merit what we need from Christ. But it teaches us that we're sinners. We're guilty before God. That's part of that schoolmaster work. And then we see here that after we are taught those things, the Lord saves us, okay, then we don't need the schoolmaster in that way anymore. And then here is something that's interjected here, that's in this portion of Scripture. In verse number 26, we want to take a look at this Scripture, this verse, and we want to focus on a phrase here, there's a couple of words for our message this morning. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26, he declares to these churches, to us, for ye are all the children of God. So that all is not talking about everybody in the world, but it's talking to those that the Lord has saved and put in his churches. He says, for ye are all the children of God, not by keeping the law, not by paying the Lord for salvation, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so what we want to consider this morning is that little two-word phrase, if you will, by faith. By faith, okay? Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless. We thank you, Father, for the way you have blessed. And Lord, help us as we look into your word, Father, that you just speak to us. And Lord, reveal things unto us maybe that we've never seen before. And Father, that you would just reveal yourself unto us in your word, Father, and just help us as your children. We might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of what you've done for us through Christ. And Lord, that we might be better equipped, Lord, to be a good witness of you and what you've done for us to this lost and dying world. We pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved, Lord, that they might see what this is. Lord, that you would reveal unto them what this is about this phrase, by faith. Lord, work in that and help. We pray that you'd save, and we pray that you'd work in our midst. We need you, Father. Without you, we have indeed no hope. But Lord, with your touch and your blessing, Lord, there are blessings indeed. Help now, we pray. We ask it in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here it says in Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." This word faith, it appears several times as coming through in the English, this word faith. It occurs several times in the New Testament, and it's talking about, this word is speaking about persuasion or moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness or the truthfulness of God. That you've got that, you believe that there's no deferring from that. That's just the way it is. What God has said is what I believe. And because what I believe it doesn't make it so, but it's so because God has said it, and I believe it. Being convicted, being persuaded. There's a way of the world and the way of God. And the Lord has made his case in his word and brought that here to the forefront. And that is what I believe. Faith. Faith, not just this bucket of faith. I've told you many times, go into the jail and those fellows would be there. They'd hear about the preacher coming and folks coming for a time of Bible study or services. And they'd say, just got to have faith. Just got to have faith. Faith in what? I don't know. See, it sounds good. But faith is not a thing by itself. You don't have a bucket or a bag of faith. It's faith in one. Or faith, we can have faith in something. I was at Brother Cecil's house this past week, and we were working on some things. And I had faith that his jack stands were going to hold that thing up that we were working on. And I'm glad that they did, okay? We trusted them. Well, when we're talking about faith, and faith relative to the things of the soul and the need of the soul and the need of forgiveness of sins, it's not faith in what we can do for ourselves, but it's faith in the Lord. Faith, and that's what Bible faith is talking about. Bible, scriptural faith is focused upon the Lord and what He says. It says faith here in this definition, the Greek word is the word pistis, and it's rendered as other words in the English in the New Testament scriptures. But this word faith is talking about persuasion, moral conviction, especially reliance on Christ for salvation. Okay? Not the world, not what we've done, not what we've promised, but what Christ has done. Yes, Christ came. Yes, the Father sent Him. Yes, He hung on that cross some 2,000 years ago. And yes, what He did in dying and being buried and risen from the dead, that's good enough to save me. Faith. That there's not another way. That there's nothing that I need to add to it. And there's nothing that's necessary to take away from it. There's faith in Him. Faith in Him and what He's done, what He's promised. This word faith can also be rendered as assurance. And I like this a rendering also, that it can be a synonym, if you will. And Brother Keener, Brother Forrest Keener, brought this out seemingly in the latter years of his life, and heard him bring it out and talk even with other brethren about that, referring to his messages and things that he would preach. This word fidelity. The Lord is trustable. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful. If He said it, it's going to be so. You'll not find the Lord to be a liar. Amen. And Jesus Christ indeed came to save sinners, didn't He? And so this word faith, by faith, this phrase, we want to consider this morning. I find it interesting that the English word faith, as an aside, is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not there, okay, because it's also rendered as believe in the New Testament. But I find it interesting that it only comes through in the English twice in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20, I'll read this to you. He said, "I will hide my face from them." That book of Deuteronomy is Moses preaching a couple messages to the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation," speaking of Israel, "children in whom is no faith." What was the problem with Israel as a whole? God said the way it was going to be, and they said, "Can't be that way." God's not big enough to do that. But he was big enough to do that, wasn't he? And he did it. What he said, he did in every way. And then the other one that we saw in Habakkuk, we went over those and went over that book some time ago with our cottage prayer meetings and such. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him." Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Speaking of the Chaldeans or the Sabaeans that the Lord would bring as those that would come upon Israel to judge them and to chastise them. Okay, that's what this passage is speaking about. That the Lord would use them, but yet the Lord would judge them. And the verse goes on to say, "But the just shall live by his faith." The one that's just, the one that's justified before the Lord is going to live, going to have life by believing the Lord, by having faith in him. And so only those two occurrences. It's interesting that that is that way. The first point that we want to consider here this morning in this by faith is this, that men, women, boys, and girls are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, the apostle here dealing with this church in Rome, writing to them, and he speaks to them about their faith and his desire to come to them at this time when this is written. And he's ready to preach the gospel, verse number 15, to them. And he says in verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed," Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Why the Jew first? Because they got it in time just a little bit before the Greeks did. But the Lord worked it that it did indeed come unto the Gentiles also. Right? Verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." God's righteousness is shown forth every time a sinner believes. Every time a sinner is given faith. Every time a sinner has faith towards God, the greatness and the righteousness, the wonder and glory of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written in Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith." And so this living that's spoken about here is what? It's talking about living in Christ. It's talking about the life of the soul. It's talking about salvation. Sinners live by faith in Christ. The just, those that have been justified, all right, those that you are found justified, they have life. What did the verse previous speak about? The gospel. Salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, it says, the just shall live by his faith. Not this thing that he has done, but what his entire care and hope and rest and assurance is focused in and is resting in. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus said is true. And what Jesus has done is good enough to save me. In Galatians chapter 3, back over where we were for our text, in Galatians chapter 3, in that same chapter, but earlier in the chapter, let's read here. In verse number 10, "For as many as are of the works, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Got to start, going to have salvation by the law. You got to keep on doing it. Got to keep on keeping it perfect. And it is a curse because it's a real sucker trap, because it may look like something you can do, but you can't. And if you could going forward, what about that which is past, right? "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Then we've got to know it all. And we can't do that. Verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." That ought to be obvious. What's it say? For the just shall live by faith. And what's the subject? The salvation of the soul. The salvation of the soul can only be accomplished by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What He does for the sinner. Faith in Him. Faith in His faithfulness. Faith in His promises. Faith in His gospel. That His death, His burial, His resurrection, that He came and did that for me. Not for us. It is true that He came to save sinners, but that He came and did it for me. For me and for you, if you're here and saved. Sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. And then in this same chapter, in Galatians chapter 3, and hear about Him speaking about the law being a schoolmaster in verse number 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, we're all guilty, that the promise, listen, by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That believe. That believe in Christ. That believe on Him, in Him. That it's only by Him that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. And so men, women, boys and girls are saved by faith. Not just this thing of faith, not a pot of faith, a bucket of faith, a bag of faith, but saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how sinners have life. And then, after that, we want to consider some things that are accomplished in the believer by faith, okay? So it's by faith, and that passage in Habakkuk, it's really interesting. I don't understand all about it, but the more I look at it and come back and look at it, it's really an interesting springboard into the New Testament Scriptures about this issue and subject of faith. Sinners are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, when the sinner is saved, there are some things that are yet accomplished in the sinner, or in the saved sinner, by faith. And so we want to look at those, okay? So for you taking notes, this will be point number two. We're going to have some sub-points, okay? I'm going to try to get better at that. Things accomplished in the believer by faith. Chapter 26 of Acts. Acts chapter 26. Look at this. Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, and this is indeed, it is connected to salvation, okay? But it is the beginning of what's happening here. Paul is retelling how the Lord met him, and he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse number 18, that Paul is going to be used of the Lord to do, okay, and the message he's going to carry. Verse 18, we'll break into the middle of it for the sake of time. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, talking about sinners, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. Paul's going to be sent to the Gentiles, right? An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is in me. Jesus is speaking, okay? Faith in Him. Sanctified by faith. By faith, we're set apart. You know what? When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for everything, you set yourself apart from this world. Because this old lost, dying world doesn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. You set yourself apart. Say, I'm the Lord's and He is mine. And that's a distinction. That's a distinction that the Lord came and said that He was going to bring, and it's going to bring it right into the middle of families. The father would be up against the son, and the son against the father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And all this thought that the Christ came not to bring peace, but He brought a division. Because you don't sit on the fence about Christ. You don't straddle the fence regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Either you're with Him or you're against Him. That's the bottom line of it. So we are sanctified. In Acts chapter 15, it speaks of the same. Let's take a look over here. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. talking about circumcision, and there's those that are saying that it needs to be that those who are saved need to be circumcised. The Gentiles need to be circumcised, and Peter raises up and says how the Lord dealt with him there over at Caesarea it was, and we come down here to verse number 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And remember, those at Caesarea and Cornelius's house were granted the gifts of the Holy Spirit before baptism. Whoa. That was the whole point there, is the Lord's at work here. The Lord granted the gifts of the Holy Spirit as he was doing at that time, and we manifested to those that would be saved and those that were going to be part of the Lord's church. The Lord did it with them without the apostle even touching them, because the Lord was at work. And listen to what it says. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Verse 9. And to put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. How was that? Peter preached, didn't he? Peter, when he was there with Cornelius, he went down the line. He preached about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached about the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, his church, the commission that he gave his church, and his salvation. And they said, "We believe." And they were set apart. They were sanctified, Peter says, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then another thing that happens in the believer by faith is that the believer is justified. Let's take a look over here in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And there's an order that's given in Romans chapter 8, verse number 30, talking about the work of the Lord and such as that. And understand that in that order that's given there in Romans chapter 8, verse number 30, you can put this as a side note, that the listing there says that men are justified after they're called. Mm-hmm. And the calling yields salvation. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now here in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Yeah, sanctification and justification are so right up there close to salvation. We do have reference to them, and they are, we understand a little bit about what they are, but they're right up there tied against salvation. And so sinners are saved, and sinners are sanctified by faith, saved by faith, sanctified by faith, and justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It didn't take the obedience of the law for a sinner to be saved. What does it take? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. In this same chapter, we come on down here in verse number 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also God is. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now, through is talking about the channel of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we are justified by faith. Again, not this bucket of faith, a bushel basket of faith, a pail of faith, but faith in the Lord. Faith in Him. He said it. He's performed it. He's done it. He will do it. I am resting. I'm trusting. I'm assured in Him. If God's made it, the Lord's made a promise, it will come to pass. And we are justified by faith. This word justification is talking about being made as if we've never sinned. That's what justification is. Being made just as if we have never sinned. And one can be forgiven of their sins. One can be made justified by faith in Christ. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, back in our text chapter, we read here in verse number 24, as we talked about earlier, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." See? The law says, a correct view of the law says, I can't keep that. I've never kept that. And boy, am I guilty. Boy, am I condemned. I have no hope by myself. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in me that can ever help or save me. And then the word about Christ, as the Lord gave there to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, there's no man that's made a way to heaven, but the one that came down from heaven, he's made a way. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Faith. Faith in Jesus. He says here, he says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Sinner, you want to be justified? It's only by faith in Christ. It's only by what he can do for you. Hear, believe, have faith in him. We who are saved, that is indeed how we're justified. And then thirdly, the next thing that is accomplished in the believer by faith is that we're made righteous. Okay? We're made righteous. Verse number 22 of this, of Romans chapter 3. We'll back up to verse number 20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Speaking of that schoolmaster. Verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, and it's shown forth, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." That's what they preach. That's what the Lord used them to speak to the fathers. And now it says in Hebrews, he's spoken to us by his Son. Even, verse 22, "even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ," listen to this, "unto all and upon all them that believe." For there is no difference. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks you're born on. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're the worst heathen that's ever been and denier of God. By faith, you can have the righteousness of Christ. Amen. It's the only way. It's the only way that you can have it. And by faith, that he said he would save. He says he will work. He says he sent his Son. And all those things were fulfilled. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Faith. By faith we are made righteousness. Talking about that doctrine of imputation. In Romans chapter 9. In verse number... Romans chapter 9, verse number 30. "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel," it goes on, "but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." See, the Gentiles didn't even have it. But we're saved by faith. And the Jews, Israel, they had it. But they couldn't keep it. That first covenant. God said, "I'll give you what to do." And they said, they committed to Moses there. Said, "Whatever the Lord says, we'll do it." And then within a day or two, they were found afoul of it, weren't they? Or shall we say then, verse 30, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Because they sought it not by faith. Faith. How was Moses saved? By faith in the Lord. He believed him. He believed him. How was his brother saved? How was his sister saved? How was Joshua and Caleb saved? They believed the Lord. They believed the Lord, that what the Lord said He would do. Hear that? There's a song that we teach the children to sing. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. He will never fail us. His promises are true if we but receive Him. What was that receiving talking about? Yes, Lord, what You say is right. His children we become. Faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. Faith in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. Faith in Him. He says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, verse 32, but as it were by the works of the law, the works of the flesh, what they could do, what they could accomplish, what they could get checked off on their to-do list. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. All that in the Old Testament, in the sacramental and sacrificial law, and all that was commanded, it all pointed to Christ. It all promised what the Lord would do. And sinners are made righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3. We'll back up to verse number 8 to get the entire sentence. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Refuse. That stuff, that pile of junk that's over there that the dogs mingle around with. Earlier in the chapter it speaks of that. That I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In that turmoil, that wrestling, that travail that is there as the sinner hears the Word of God and what the Lord says about salvation, and that it's simply in Christ and in nothing else. There's doubt. Just naturally. There's doubt. Is that good enough? Is that really going to work? You know, in our natural way of thinking. Is He really telling the truth? Well, listen, He is. He is telling the truth. And it is good enough. And it is complete. And there's not one gap, not one hole, not one point of lacking in the salvation of the Lord. The righteousness of Christ bestowed upon the sinner. The free gift by just believing in what He said He would do. That I may know Him, verse 10 goes on, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Indeed, we identify with Christ. And then fourthly, under these things that are accomplished in the believer by faith, we're given admission. I'd like to go places and Some places don't recommend going. Other places go. We can go to. Back in Romans chapter 5, look here what we have before the Lord. Not only are we sanctified by faith, we're justified by faith, we're made righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus. But in Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, we read, therefore, in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Access. As that word access is talking about admission. The one that the Lord saves, you've got a right to go there before the Lord. Why? Because of self, not because of Christ. Christ, if you will, paid the admission. And not only do we come in, not as a guest, not as a servant, but we are again granted access as a child. Adopted. Adopted. Can you believe? Adopted. By whom also we have access, by Christ, by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of glory of God. I mean, kids get a gift, and maybe it's wrapped up, or it's in a sack or whatever, and you let them know that that gift's for them. Well, they start jumping up and down, start getting excited. Woo-woo, got something from Grandma. That's the way we are before the Lord. Should be. Because He's bestowed upon us wondrous, wondrous things.
Amen.
And we rejoice in it, don't we? We're given access. Fifthly, the thing that is accomplished in the believer by faith is that we're made joint heirs with Christ. What was it that our text verse said in Galatians 3:26? For ye are all the children of God. Joint heirs with Christ. A son of God. How can that be? Well, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Him, it is so. And then our sixth point of things accomplished in the believer by faith, in Galatians chapter 5, well, let's look back here again in Galatians 5, verse number 5. In Galatians 5:5, the sixth thing that is accomplished in the believer by faith, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Mankind does not possess the power to even put on a display. Now, what I'm thinking about, if I can get this conveyed to you, we have these movies and we have entertainment and different shows and stuff that we watch, and millions of dollars are spent to make a thing to look, and with props and different things that are built and software and the manipulation and working with cameras and all that, and we make these different things that we're entertained by, and we're taken to another world or a thing that we just can't even imagine, and those things are created. If you took all the ability of mankind, we could never even mock what the Lord has promised that we will experience. You hear what I'm saying? It couldn't be put on as a show what the Lord has promised us that we're going to for real experience. And how do we know that? You know, having that access by faith. When you go to the Lord in prayer, do you believe that He's there hearing? Well, by faith we do. Because why? Because what He said He would be. Well, we wait for that hope and that glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. How? By faith. By faith. We look forward to His coming. That hope, that there's so much that's wrapped up in that hope. The hope of His coming, or that hope of being with Him for eternity, that hope of being in His presence and thereby have a new body, that we can be in His presence. And all those things that He has in store. And then next, what is it, those things that are accomplished in the believer by faith? Well, we stand and we walk and we live by faith. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We stand and walk and live by faith. In Romans chapter 11, here speaking about how the Gentiles were grafted in, the original branch of the olive tree was cut off, speaking of Israel, and we've been grafted in. And let's back up here, verse 18. Boast not against the branches, we who are Gentiles. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Just because we've been grafted in and Israel's been taken away for a time, and we, the Gentiles, have been grafted in, don't let us boast against them, because we are not self-sufficient. The Lord did that for us. Okay? Wilt thou say then, verse 19, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. We stand by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, see, our salvation is not of by our own merit, but by faith in the Lord. Our continuance is not by our ability either. We have the Spirit of God working within us. If there's anything that comes and has yielded good from this life, it's because of the Spirit of God working within. And we need to avail ourselves to the Spirit of God. We need to mortify this old man, put him down, and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And that's a very deep subject. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we come here to verse number 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Okay? Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Okay? Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. He said, I want to help you. For by faith you stand. He said, I'm a minister of the Lord. It can be used of the Lord to help you and carry the word of God to you and instruct you and help you go on and grow and showing you things in Christ that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But you know what? Your relationship doesn't depend on me. It's between you and the Lord. You stand. You live. By faith. We stand and we live by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, simply in verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. By faith. By faith. I tell you what, it's the only way we can be joyous is to walk by faith. If we walk by sight, we're going to get uneasy. We're going to get nervous. We're going to get antsy. We're going to have trouble dealing and coping with it. But if we walk by faith, we can rest in the Lord. We can rest in Him. We can have assurance in Him. We can have confidence in Him. He knows the ins and outs of everything, doesn't He? He knows the beginning from the end, doesn't He? By faith in Him, by faith, we can walk with the Lord unto pleasing. In Ephesians chapter 3, here at this point, we walk. The things accomplished in the believer by faith is that we stand, we walk, and we live by faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17, let's back up here, verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, pardon me, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened, number one, with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This is speaking to the saved. The saved at the church of Ephesus. It's by faith. You know, we have the Spirit of God. We've been given the earnest of the Spirit. But if we feed this old man, we're not going to be living by faith. And the effect of the Lord Jesus on our lives and in us is going to be less, isn't it? But if we'll be looking to Him, we'll be trusting in Him, we'll be walking with Him, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, that four-dimensional knowledge of the Lord and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The peace that passeth understanding is only by faith in the Lord ongoing. It's by faith that we walk, by faith that we live, and by faith that we stand. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, stay with me. I know your tummy is growling, but stay with me. In this point, in this consideration, the things accomplished by the believer by faith, we are sanctified, we're justified, we're made righteous, we're given access by faith, we're made joint heirs with Christ. By faith, we wait for the hope of His coming in our new body, and by faith, we stand, walk, and live. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now we've seen references to that in Habakkuk, there in Romans and there in Galatians, and it spoke more leaning toward that of the salvation of the soul. But you know what? Here, this is speaking, now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The justified shall live, or if you will, operate by faith. Okay? I want you to hold your finger right here and turn over to James chapter 2, and let's interject this verse in this thought. Again, we're on the point that we stand, walk, and live by faith. These are things that are accomplished in the believer by faith. In James chapter 2, verse number 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Brother Jim, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. No. When we're talking about the need of the soul and the salvation of the soul, a man is justified by faith in Christ. But then as a child of God, how do you show somebody that you believe? How is it manifested that you do have faith in Christ? By what you say? Or by what you do. And James speaks on this wise. He says, a man, see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Back here in Hebrews chapter 11, we left there at the end of chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. This is talking now about the saved person lives and walks by faith. And how do we know that? Well, you just walk down through chapter 11. Verse number 4, by faith, Abel. Verse number 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse number 7, by faith, Noah. Verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse number 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse number 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse number 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse number 23, by faith, Moses. Verse number 31, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. Back in James chapter 2, we back up earlier in the chapter from where we read there in verse number 24. But wilt thou, verse number 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We walk, we live, and we stand by faith. Sinners are saved by faith. And believers are sanctified, justified, made righteous, given access, made joint heirs with Christ, wait for the hope of His coming in our new body, and stand and walk and live by faith. What's the conclusion? For those not saved, how can you be saved today? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel for you. That's the only way you'll be saved. To we who are saved, how can we live for the Lord till Jesus comes for us? By faith in Him. By faith in Him. We close with Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. The Scripture says here, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him," or God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him."